How would someone describe your life in a few words, and how would you want them to describe your life? Most of us live on autopilot day to day, and we're creating a reputation, and frankly, a legacy, that's not necessarily as full as the one we could be creating. Today, we're going to be talking about how we can not only identify what kind of legacy we want to live, but what can I do to show up today to become the kind of person I ultimately want to be known for, and the type of person I ultimately want to be. Check this out as we explore these topics. And as always, if you like the Conscious Success Podcast, where we teach you how to master your mind, enhance your health, and expand your wealth, all you got to do is subscribe. That lets us know that you're enjoying this. Downloading these episodes gives us a good idea that we should keep going and keep trying to share this helpful information with you. Check this out. One could make the argument that your reputation is the most important thing about you, because as soon as we start to spoil our reputation, everything in life becomes far more difficult. The way in which we build the life that we want is first figure out what kind of person do I want to be known as? What type of person do I want to become? And then slowly but surely, we begin to act and develop the behaviors of that type of person so that we actually leave a legacy we'd be proud of. Now, I don't want to just talk about legacy in a way that the one that you leave after you die, because we are all going to be known as something after we die. And you say, Madhu, I don't want to talk about death. That's macabre. All right. You're not going to like this episode, because death is an inevitable reality that we have to talk about. And so we are going to explore that, but not just the reputation after you're gone, also your reputation or your legacy while you're alive. How do we become the type of person in real time that we want to show up for and show up as in this world? Because most of us know what our potential is, what we actually want to be doing, and we see the areas we're, say, falling short. These are a couple of strategies and approaches to not only clarify that, but show up in a way where you can consistently become the kind of person you want to be, which leaves the reputation you want while you're still alive, and then as well as a legacy after you die. And again, if you say, Madhu, death, we don't talk about death here. In the West, death becomes so covered. There's a way in which we never see death. We don't even see old age. Even retirement homes are hidden away. In East, I remember the first time when I was a monk, it was maybe my third India trip, but the first time I saw a crematorium, I was walking just around town. And I remember I almost got an eerie feeling in my stomach, like, oh, where am I? And I looked, and literally out in the open, just to my left, there was a big open gate. And I looked in, and I was crazy. I just saw a funeral pyre with 2 feet out. Literally just the only part of the body was the feet, and it was on fire. And it was so jarring, because I realized up until that time in my life, I must have been 19 or so at the time, I'd never really seen death. The closest thing I'd seen to death was an open casket funeral, where the body wasn't actually how the body looked. It had to get dressed up. And so in the West, we are so covered from this concept of death. But my friends, as we know, it's a reality. There's 100% certainty that we one day will die. And so why don't we do what we can do to live the fullest life we can while we're still present in this body? And again, you'll see in the East, these topics aren't quite as macabre. They're not quite as a taboo as they might be here in the West. And so I ask you, just if these ideas trigger you at all, take a deep breath, work with me, people, and sit with this reality. And even if it's very jarring, because I know what I felt that time when I saw the reality, that's right. These are bodies that are going to die. And that's a dead body right there being burned. And it was so, it shook me up to my core. And potentially some of the words I'll be sharing do that to you as well. And I am so happy that this is happening, because sitting with this reality of death, what it's going to do is really give us an impetus to live a full life. If we act in such ways like we're never going to die, we wind up procrastinating our life's biggest dreams, biggest desires, biggest ambitions. We'll say, oh, I'll get to that later. We don't have later. Later is not guaranteed. What is guaranteed is death. Now, it might be in a minute, a year, a decade, could even be in a century. Who knows? Maybe even more than a century, if you're lucky. I mean, if you want to define that as lucky. One day, our number will be called, per se. So what do I want to do this moment? How can I show up this second to leave the kind of reputation that I actually want to leave? What will I be known for? If I leave today, what will I be known for? Now, it doesn't have to be anything grandiose. When we're talking about legacy, another misconception is that, oh, I have to be the best skier that's ever lived. No, I mean, sure, if that's your thing. But my friends, you're probably never going to be the best or the worst at anything. The mind, the ego, frankly, wants us to be the best at something. Don't worry about that. We're not talking about any unnecessary, arbitrary goals. We're just talking about the kind of person that you want to be remembered as. And again, in real time, as well as after the time of death. What ways does that person show up? How does that person act? The first way we can identify this is really get into the identity itself. The single most important determining factor of our future is who we believe we are. Who you believe you are is the most important factor in determining what kind of life you're going to live. So, and keep in mind, who you believe you are doesn't necessarily mean who you are. You might have a false sense of reality that you are the best, you are the worst, or some other delusion of grandeur, or whatever it might be. What you believe is what your mind will find evidence to reinforce. Let me just say that again. Whatever you believe to be true, your mind will find evidence to make that true. That's what the mind does, because the mind does one thing and one thing only, and that is keep you alive. Keep you alive, keep you safe to keep you alive. In other words, so that you don't die. And one of the ways to not go crazy or not die is the mind will believe whatever you give it. Therefore, if you believe, let's take two different people. One person is, both are overweight. One person says, I'm going to lose all this weight because I'm the kind of person who's healthy and I want to live a full life. And the other person says, I'll never lose weight. I'm never going to be that kind of person who's healthy. Who do you think is actually going to achieve it? The person who believes that they can be, that they are a healthy person, we'll just speak it can be, they are that healthy person. They are somebody that can lose that weight. They're the person who loses it. The person who disempowers himself certainly is not going to get that result. And if they do, it's random and it's not going to happen again. They're just going to wind up going back. Water always finds its own level. You are always going to find evidence for whoever you believe yourself to be. So the first step of change is clarifying your identity itself. And that means identifying what type of person do I want to be? What do I want to be known for? And again, how does that look today? Like, how does the person I want to be show up in this world? How do they speak? How do they talk? How do they act? How do they dress? How do they show up? Asking ourselves these questions, and I literally encourage you, pause this, write it down. Don't just keep it in the mind, subtly floating in the brain. Say that three times fast. Subtly floating in the brain. Identify them with as much clarity as you can. What type of person you want to be and what that person does, how they show up in this world, how they act, how they talk, how they dress, how they smell. Identify these in as keen detail as you possibly can. And from there, what we can start to extract is an idea of like who you think you are. When you look at your ideal identity, we can start to look at where you are in relationship to that. And very easily, as if with no extra effort, you'll be able to see the areas that aren't currently congruent. In other words, this is the person I want to be, and this is where I currently am. These are the things that are going to need some attention. Hoorah, write them down. Just like, that's it. And if all you ever do is you stop here and you pause here and nothing else happens, like, great. You're one of the few humans that has awareness of self, self-awareness. And this special opportunity that comes with the self-awareness is figuring out who you want to be, which means we can start to slowly but surely modify your behaviors, your habits in a way to become the person you want to become. Now, we've already talked about values and behaviors and how to build out the behaviors and then build out an ideal schedule. Go watch those podcasts where we go into those topics in full depth. I'm not necessarily going to talk about the logistics of the habits and scheduling. I want to talk about getting into your particular habits and the ones that are allowing you to become more of the person you want to become and or reinforcing the person you currently are, which is the person you want to be, or if they're actually deterring you and they're moving you in the opposite direction, or even if it's not the opposite, they're moving in a direction that's just slowing down your progress. So identify, again, who you want to be, how they show up in this world, and then where are you now, and figure out what are those big areas. Which of these areas, if I were to just change them immediately, if I were to work on my, like, which habit would it be? My sleeping patterns, my eating patterns, my fill in the blank. Which of them is going to have the biggest positive impact in what I'm trying to accomplish here? And identify, figure out what are those areas that are incongruent and which are the ones that are going to provide me the most traction and results in becoming the person I say I want to be. I'm identifying as. And you have to keep in mind, you only become what you admire. You only become what you admire. So what this will also do is face you with the reality of parts of yourself that you want to be, that part of your psyche doesn't want to accept that you have that desire for. An example is you might have the desire for fame. And then there's a part of your conscious mind. Because keep in mind, desires are always on a subconscious platform. You might also have conscious desires as well, ones that you think about, but on a subconscious, on a programmed situation, you have desires. And maybe one of those is fame. But then on your conscious mind, you go, no, I don't want fame. It's a material desire. I don't want it. Here's the thing, my friends. If you don't know your desire, how can you change it? You can't just stuff it down and pretend it doesn't exist. Good luck. What will repression accomplish? Nada. I mean, it'll accomplish a lot of mental health issues, a lot of physical ailments, that's for sure. But it's not going to get you closer to your dreams. It's frankly going to slow down your progress. So you are what you admire. And by identifying that, you'll see the parts of yourself that there's a conflict between your conscious and subconscious mind. That there's parts of you that, oh, I don't want to have that. I don't want to have that desire. I don't want to have that identity. Part of me wants to be famous, but there's not a part of me that doesn't. Whatever that is, just again, first step is just identify. Notice these parts that are not necessarily consistent or congruent with your conscious desires. And from there, I want you to sit with the reality that you're never going to become what you don't admire. In other words, if you despise someone who's wealthy, if you despise the wealthy, eat the rich, money is the root of all. Money is the root of all evil. It's a nonsensical thing people say. If you actually believe those thoughts, you could be damn sure you're never going to generate wealth. Like, if that's not important to you, if you despise it, of course you're not going to achieve that. That's just common sense. How would you become more of what you hate? If you've ever considered having a podcast, especially if you're expert at what you do, I cannot suggest more highly using Podigy's service, which is what we use. If you like this production here, I highly suggest you reach out to Podigy through their contact in the show notes below to run and host your podcast. I went through a bunch of different teams, tried a bunch of different things. No one came close to what I got post-production from Podigy, and even just making a launch easy, taking your content, sharing it, making it presentable. Please check out Podigy. If you're great at what you do and you've ever considered having a podcast, I really am excited for you to try them out as well. You have to admire the type of person you want to be. And that means sitting with the reality of any parts that aren't necessarily consistent and working on them. And we'll talk about what to do with them, how to work on them in a minute. But again, you got to be aware. Everyone wants to go to the how before we talk about the what. How am I? Okay, how do I fix my identity? Okay, what is your identity? What is your identity on a subconscious and conscious level? What do you know you want to be? And what are the parts of you that, yeah, I definitely have that in there. It might be deep desire, but it's definitely in there. That desire is really lodged in. Cool. Just acknowledge that. And then see any areas where there's a disharmony of sorts. And ask yourself this question on a regular basis. It's like, who do I want to become? And am I showing up in a way to become that person? So now we have some clarity. We start talking about practically what do we do about it? And the prompt I would offer you with this, the almost easiest way to start to move our life in a direction to become the person we want is asking ourselves this question, how would the person I want to become respond to this? Say it out loud. How would the person I want to become respond to this? That in itself will be quite telling, because you might have the gut response of, I'm going to tell this person off. This person cut me off in the road and I'm going to hide behind this big metal steel car and tell them off. And you ask yourself the question, wait, how would the person I want to become actually respond to this? Oh, you know, they'd be very tolerant and compassionate. Who knows? Maybe this person's having a hard day. Who knows? Maybe they just, you know, missed the exit and just had to get over, and let's not take it personal. And like, I'm okay. And I'm not going to let this person be the source of my anger. And I'm actually going to take some deep breaths and settle my nervous system and like, be cool. If that's how the person I want to become responds, all right, just notice that. Like, all right. Yeah, but I don't want to. I want to tell this person off. All right, but now you at least have the choice. You know, okay, this is how I'm wanting to respond, but this is the way I ultimately actually ought to respond to become the person I want. And you guys know I don't like to should on you too much, tell you what you should or shouldn't do, but in order to be the person you want, there are things that will be helpful for that and things that are going to be not so advantageous. And then you have the options. And I'm not saying that you're always going to be able to choose it. Don't get me wrong. I wish it was so simple that every single time we're going to choose the right option. Not necessarily. It's all right. We're human. At the same time, we still want the option. Otherwise, if we're stuck on this default programming, just responding to life, however my programming and conditioning has taught me to, well, we can understand that we're just going to get more of what we currently have. So if you're perfectly happy with your life, you want nothing different, then cool, do nothing different. Just keep everything going as is. You still want to bring some conscious awareness to that. Otherwise, it's going to be random. You're not going to know what's causing your results. So at the very least, create some conscious awareness. But the likelihood is you probably know you have some more potential. And that's the cool thing is we have unlimited potential. It's not like, well, now I'm here. I've hit my ceiling of potential. Now I'm done. It doesn't work like that. We're endless living entities, which means there's endless potential. Pretty cool idea if you ask me. So how would the person I want to become respond to this situation? I want you to use that as the crux of everything that we're discussing here. Like, think of that as what will allow you to frame your mindset in such a way as to, well, show up as a person you want to become. And I want to make this point that how you do one thing is how you do everything. There's a way in which when we show up presenting the nature, the habits that we do, if we're seeing that in most ways of our life, I show up in one way and I seemingly show up a different way in another. It's important to lean into that because the way that I show up, let's say in my relationship is actually, let's say my relationship with my wife is actually going to reflect how I show up in all relationships. The way you do one thing is connected to the way you do everything. And so when we're getting into making these decisions, don't worry about how small it might be. Like on the road, and you know, instead of doing the middle finger, let's just do a wave. And one of my teacher, he teaches this beautiful mantra. If somebody cuts you off in traffic, you put your hand up and you say, "I forgive you." Oh, just try that real quick. Just put your hand up and say, "I forgive you." What a relief. Even if it's something so seemingly minor as that, like, yeah, not flicking them off, just waving them off and saying it's okay and taking a deep breath. It's actually not minor because just by you practicing that, it's going to affect the bigger decisions, the things that feel a lot more difficult to work with, to solve, to manage. The way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And otherwise, if we don't have, say, small ways to practice, it gets really overwhelming really quickly. And we get to start to feel stuck. I know you understand this point of feeling stuck because it's a human predicament where it's just like, I don't know what to do. I feel trapped. I feel like my body, my mind just wants to do this, but I know I want to do this, but I can't choose it. And it's too convenient. I just want to keep doing the convenient thing. I don't want to do the right thing. Our mind might have these fights and these thoughts. But here's the cool thing is you're not stuck. You're just living in a story you didn't choose. You're not stuck. You're living in a story that you didn't necessarily choose. The narrative, again, coming back to this original point of what we believe ourselves to be, that's what's actually going to mold our whole sense of self. When we're just going on autopilot and we're living out this narrative that was gifted to us, you're this, you're that. I mean, from the time you come out of the womb, they slap a name tag on you and they call you a particular name. That's just your name. You don't really have a say in it. Can't even hold your head up. They say, okay, your name is Schnicky. All right, little Schnicky, you cute little Schnicky. So it's now your name tag is Schnicky and then now cute. So now you've got like two labels, two identities. And then you grow up, it's kind of like chubby. It's like chubby, cute, Schnicky. And then you get a little older, like weird, cute, chubby, Schnicky. And this way you start to gather a whole Rolodex of names and labels and titles. Most of those you don't even want to own to begin with. What to speak of identify with. You don't want anything to do with them. But yet our mind can convince us. And that's why we go back to a clean slate of what do I want to be known as? How does that person show up in this world? And how would that person respond to the situation? Be it a small situation or seemingly a much bigger one. And keep in mind, always coming back to this idea of values. It's like, if you want to know what you're making progress in, it's really easy. Just look at your calendar. Look at your checkbook. Look at your screen time. Like, where attention goes, energy flows. Therefore, if you're spending your attention and your money and your time doing XYZ, understand you get more of XYZ. So when we're talking about how to actually make the shifts necessary, you might consciously want to be the person you want to be and want to show up in that way. But on an unconscious level, you might be spending a lot of your time, money, and energy in other places. And that's how you know what you actually value. If you want to, you might consciously say, I value this, that, the other. If you want to know what you actually value, see where you spend your time, money, and attention. And in this way, just become aware, okay, here's the person I want to be. Here's where I'm not necessarily showing up as that person. And frankly, here's where I can spend some more time, attention, and money to become the type of person I want, to actually mold myself in that type of direction. And there's an important term I want to introduce here, and that is this idea of authenticity, which I sometimes cringe a little bit when people use this word because it becomes so, it can be used as such like a buzzword. You got to be your authentic self. This is just my truth, man. It's just this is authentic me. This is just me raw. When I hear that, I get a little ick. I start to feel the ick. I start to get a little claustrophobic around those kind of people, those kinds of thoughts. When I'm introducing this idea of authenticity, what I'm really talking about is showing up as the type of person you ultimately are, aka want to become. It's not that you just act however your mind says you act. It's a big misconception. This is just me, man. Accept me for who I am. This is my authentic self. It's like, no, this is you and your weird conditioning, just doing whatever you want and justifying it as your quote unquote authenticity. No. No. Authenticity, referring to you showing up as the type of person you actually want to become. That's how I'm going to define authenticity. Because if you're showing up in a way that's going to produce a result you don't want, is that really authentic? No, that's actually out of alignment. Like you're showing up in a way that's going to create a different result than the result you want. All right, it's out of alignment. It's inauthentic. At the same time, if you fake it till you make it, if you try to play a show, put on a mask, put on a face, it's not going to last. It's not sustainable. So really what we're talking about with creating a new authentic approach and authentic lifestyle is really figuring out how do I practically work into my schedule in terms of where I spend my time, money, attention, things that build the type of person I want to become, as opposed to just doing what I want to do and try to write it off as, this is just me, man. This is my truth. And by the way, you'll hear me say this so many times, this idea of this is my truth. When people say this is my truth, what they actually mean to say is this is my opinion, but they don't want to own it as their opinion. Now, consciously or unconsciously, but there's no such thing as subjective truth. Truth is truth is truth. No matter what language you say it in, truth is truth. Certain things are just true. Certain things are opinion. Some things are objective. Some things are subjective. Anything that is subjective based off your opinion, it's important to own it. This is my truth, man. No, it's not. That's your opinion, bud. Anywho, acting authentically and in alignment means showing up as the type of person you want to become. Now you have some ideal of what that person does, how they show up, how they communicate, how would they respond to the situation. And then we're really talking about creating new patterns, new habits, because habits shape our character. And I want you to think of it this way. Let's just talk about super micro adjustments. Let's just say we're trying to take small steps in the right direction. If you only improve 1% every day, my friends, in 100 days, you'll be at 100% if you started from zero. But the cool thing is no one's starting from 0%. And if you're starting from 80%, cool, in 20 days with a 1% increase, you're at 100%. We don't have to make huge leaps and jumps. Once we identify, okay, this is who I want to be, this is how I want to show up, these are the habits that the type of person I want to be would develop, then slowly but surely, we develop them bite by bite, piece by piece. In the 70s, there was a quote-unquote so-called yogi who ate a buggy, as we call them, a Volkswagen buggy. You guys know the buggy? You can Google them. For sure, you see them all the time. We used to play punch buggy when we were kids. You look to the road, whenever you see a Volkswagen bug, you get to punch your sibling. Don't try this at home, folks. He ate a buggy. And how did he do it? He cut the pieces into small, little bite-sized pieces and ate it one piece at a time over the span of, I think it was a little over a year. I mean, that's dumb and crazy, but like to each his own. Talk about an expression of free will. That's a vibe, man. He ate a buggy, and how did he do it? One bite at a time, one tiny little piece at a time. It's like, how do you eat a car? Yeah, one bite at a time. It's possible. He would eat screws, drink it with water. It's wild. But if some random guy can eat a buggy, you can definitely accomplish the life that you want. The main thing is just making improvements, even if it's just 0.1% every day. Like, no problem. You'll be a few years older in a few years anyway. Get all the results you want, 0.001, whatever it might be. Just small incremental improvements in the right direction is going to get you where you ultimately want to be. And this is a question I often ask myself that I'll offer you is, what is my next right step here? What is my next right step? It's very easy to become overwhelmed. Oh, Madhu, to become the person I want to become, I have to do all these crazy things. All right, we'll get there just here. What's the next right step? Next right step is like, I guess I'm just going to write these down. I'll listen to Madhu instead of just thinking about them and not doing it. I'm actually going to write it down and figure out and identify what I actually want to be showing up as in my life. All right, cool. Now what's the next right step? Let me pull up my calendar. How do I fit these activities? Let's replace this habit with that habit. You hear us sometimes talking about a not-to-do list, like figure out what do I want to do less of, as well as the habits I want to add more into my life. And let me just play around with the numbers. All right, here's my schedule. All right, cool, that's done. Now what's the next step? Oh, let me pick one of those habits and I'll start it today. Okay, but an hour is too long. All right, let's start with 5 minutes today. All right, just going to do 5 minutes of that activity every day, this new habit. And before you know it, that habit just becomes part of you. And it becomes 5, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it might be. It's going to turn into something. So slow, progressive movements in the right direction. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. And if you feel like this can feel overwhelming, it's probably because you're out of alignment in certain areas of your life. So as you pull yourself back in alignment, you're going to get a sense of newfound inspiration, newfound empowerment. You're going to feel enlivened just by doing it because you on a deep level want to become what you want to become. And therefore, every movement, every little recalibration back to the trajectory of building the life that you want is going to create a sense of inspiration within. It's going to light you up. Roll with it and watch the shifts happen just frankly right in front of your eyes, because sometimes small changes often appear to make no difference, but they really do. Drops of water on a stone every day eventually wear the stone away. We can make a rhyme out of that. Drops of stone a day wear the stone away. In the same way, if it feels overwhelming and you're going through, you feel like you're not making progress, don't worry. You are. Sometimes you can't appreciate the mountains until you pass them. When my wife and I were driving cross country recently, we noticed it was really beautiful. But then once we drove past it, there was the sun setting behind us. In our rearview mirror, we both almost at the same time went, oh my God, like we were just there. Wow, look at those mountains we just passed through. How gorgeous. Sometimes you can't fully appreciate it until you're through it. You can't appreciate the first 5% until you're past 10% of progress or whatever it might be. So notice that you might become discouraged at times, but I assure you, the more aligned you are, the more enlivening it's going to be. And that I promise you, in no time, you'll look back and say, wow, this is really substantial and noticeable. Others around you will start to notice, hey, what's up with you? What's different? What's different about you? Oh, no. Everything? Changing up my habits, which means I'm changing up the results that I'm achieving in my actual life. So write out all your current habits. You can even rate them from positive to neutral to negative, like we've talked about in the past. And replace the ones that aren't serving you with the habits of the person you actually want to become. And just watch as if magically everything starts to work in your favor. And another meditation is, what do I want to be known for? Like, what kind of reputation would I want to leave today? How would people even think of me today if I left this second? And figure out, like, which ways am I showing up that are really making a dent in a negative way? Like, I don't want to be known as that type of person. I want to be known as this type. All right, so change today, right this second. Like, pause this podcast, change it immediately. Like, immediately make the adjustment that you want in your life, because you are in control. You have full power to live the life that you want. What a relief, huh? What a relief that you, as a free agent with free will, get to make whatever decisions you want. And whatever decisions you make today, create your reality tomorrow. Using these particular types of practices of identifying who you want to become, how that person shows up, how the person you want to become respond to this, and really getting nitty gritty into your habits and behaviors, we can start to slowly but surely become the person we ultimately want to be. And we only need to do it one little step at a time, one little drop of water on the stone a day. That's all. And as if magically, the life that we want becomes all the more attainable. So as always, if you want exercises to go along with what I share here, go ahead and join our Conscious Success community at the show notes, in which case in our community, we give templates and frameworks and guidelines to follow along with everything we share here so that you don't just have to remember everything, but we have a whole exercise to walk you through it. So if that sounds like it'll serve you, just join our Conscious Success community. Everything's completely free. I give away all of our information just so that anyone who wants to improve the quality of life can. And as always, the only thing I'll ever ask is just subscribe. That's all I ask. I'm never going to ask you for a dollar. We don't do ads for that particular reason. But I will ask you to subscribe, because that lets me know that you're actually resonating with what we share here and that what we're contributing is actually of service to you. I'm so excited to see you on the next episode. As always, let us know how we can serve you. write us in, drop us an email letting us know what topics you'd like to explore more in depth, because the whole purpose of this is to serve you and make your life just a little bit easier. Keep it conscious.